chew of tobacco? He shot at me, Tomlin. Nobody, I mean nobody, does that and gets away with it.
Now the six-hour was pointing at the professor's face, drilling a laser line between his eyes. Tomlin was slowly recovering a little of his self-control, and he shook his head.
There'll be no more shooting here tonight. You have my word on that.
It's worth as much as a baron's charity. I said before we should talk, Tomlin. Right now, I don't think that we've got much to discuss.
Oh, but you are wrong. There is much. I was wrong to conceal some things from you, but I felt you might be shocked. I am truly sorry.
For several long heartbeats, nobody moved or spoke.
They're coming around. Quickly, get poor Knight's bedraggled body away before they start devouring it again. Come on, quickly!
Ryan nodded to Christy, and they both holstered their blasters. While the professor watched, his assistants clambered nervously down the old iron ladders, and after an edgy, bungled struggle, emerged back onto the quay with the limp, savaged, bloodless corpse, laying it dripping on the stones.
We're going back to our rooms now. I give you the benefit of the doubt, for the time being.
We can talk in the morning. There are things that you don't know and don't understand. Until the morning.
Christy convinced Ryan that it was better to wake the others early the next day, rather than drag them all from sleep when they got back to their quarters. But the two of them were still fully awake well after midnight, lying in their bed and talking over what had happened in the quayside shed. There was no argument that Professor Mark Tomlin wasn't anything like the gentle and caring ecologist that he'd portrayed himself as, and the Institute of Peaceful Oceanographic Research was nothing like its title. In particular, there was overwhelming evidence that it wasn't at all peaceful.
You think he's just another megalomaniac baron on the rise?
No, not really. I mean, hell, I don't know. He seems a real weird contradiction, doesn't he?
They were lying pressed against each other, like two spoons snug in a drawer. Christy had her arms across his chest, holding him close.
I don't pick up any clear vibes from him. Lots of men and women, you can see them, sort of see the real person under the mask. Some of the time I like Tomlin, and some of the time... It's as though he's two completely different people living inside the same skin.
Bombs and mines and dead people scattered on a beach. And electric shock treatment to condition these poor bastard fish to obey him.
They aren't fish, lover. Mammals. Cetaceans, not fish.
Ryan didn't reply. He had either fallen asleep, or he was giving a convincing impression of someone who was. Breakfast was unusually massive, even by the generous standards of the Institute. But by the time it arrived, carried by two taciturn young men called McBride and Colquhoun, who shared the given name of Bob, Ryan and Christy had recounted their adventures of the night before, and the marvelous meal took on the appearance of a feeble bribe. Despite the serious reservations that they'd all been discussing, the food was excellent. Chilled fruit juices, orange, pineapple, grapefruit, mango, and lime, and some others that none of them even knew the names of. Dishes of cereals, both hot and cold, with either milk or cream and honey or syrup. A platter with a rainbow assortment of fish laid all around it, alternating slices of red salmon and silver trout with pale swordfish and the coarser fillets of what could have been shark. To Dean's delight, there was also a huge fry-up and a variety of chrome-plated dishes, golden eggs, fried and scrambled, and strips of crispy back bacon with tomatoes and link sausages. Michael took two enormous steaks, each as big as a man's fist, placing a fried egg on top of each, then scooping up four ladles of hash browns, finishing it with a side dish of grits and strips of deep-fried chicken breast.
Perhaps they could butcher a steer or two for you, for later.
If we're going to leave, then I need to get my boiler well fired.
Does the professor know that you're going away from here?
Ryan jumped in quickly, sensing the potential difficulty.
Not yet. Michael meant leaving for a day trip down the coast, by boat. He thought it might make up for the disaster we had the other day.
Michael mouthed sorry to Ryan, unseen by the two Institute men.
Sure, Miranda mentioned it. Remember, you all got a meeting with Professor Tomlin after this meal.
We remember.
Ryan helped himself to a warm sweet roll and spread it liberally with butter and raspberry jelly.
How could we forget?
They hung around, waiting for Tomlin to send the word that he was ready to meet with them. Dean played jacks with some tiny pink shells. Mildred was suffering from a mild migraine and had gone back to bed to rest. JB was stripping his Uzi, reassembling it in his lap without even looking at his hands. Ryan simply sat on a molded plastic chair, picking at a sliver of rough skin at the edge of a thumbnail. It was a habit that never failed to annoy Christy.
Oh, stop doing that, lover. It makes me nuts.
She leaned against the side of the door, staring out across the complex toward the distant glitter of the ocean. Michael had wandered over to the section of the Institute where Miranda worked on communication with the dolphins, but he was still within shouting distance. Doc paced slowly up and down the sand in front of their quarters. His hands were folded behind his back, his eyes hooded, looking inward. The big Lama swung at his hip in time with his walking. One of the Bobs, Colquhoun was Ryan's guess, was walking swiftly toward them from the direction of Tomwin's personal quarters. When he joined the companions, he addressed his remarks directly to Ryan Cotter, ignoring the rest of the group.
He's ready for you.
We're ready for him, too.
Not you. Not any of you, except for Ryan Cotter. Just one-to-one, Professor said.
We're his creatures and needs must obey. Y'all come back soon, Ryan. You hear what I say?
Be seeing you.
It was a shock to see Mark Tomwin. He looked like he hadn't slept a wink overnight, his face lined, gray beneath the eyes, and a faint stubble blurred the angles of his jaw.
Come in, come in.
He beckoned to Ryan from a long sofa, covered in faded maroon silk.
Have you eaten? Oh, yes, of course you have. I remember now.
The door closed behind Ryan as he walked into the room, picked a high-backed plain chair. Tomwin nodded approvingly.
Good choice, Ryan. Not long after I came down to the Keys, one of the local fishermen told me he'd found a house on a very isolated island, several miles off the coast, in fact. This was before the locals began. But I run before my horse to market. Said there was some furniture I might like, mostly rusting chrome and rotted leather. Rubbish. High-tech kitsch when it was new and simply moldering crap now. But that chair was the jewel in the tiara. It's a genuine Shaker piece.
Ryan nodded, unsure what was going on.
Yes, Shaker work would be worth a fortune to the right collector. If there were still any collectors left in the Deathlands, of course, but there aren't any, of course, and must stop saying that. Of course, I must.
Can we cut out this crap?
Why not? About last night. Ryan?
Let me go first. We've all talked this through, and we've decided that we're leaving.
When?
Soon as I walk out of here.
Oh, but let me...
No. I found a wrecked boat up the coast a ways when I got thrown overboard by that undersea eruption. The bottom was blown out of it, and there were some rotting corpses. They'd all been shot to death.
Tomlin jumped to his feet.
We were not responsible for the shootings, I swear to you, on my mother's grave.
But the sinking?
Ah, that was... Before you run away, I think...
Walking, not running. I don't run away from places, Tom, when I walk.
Which wasn't strictly true. There'd been plenty of times that Ryan had run for his life. The trader used to joke that the only steps you took when faced by a triple red danger were long ones.
Please, please, I understand that you... I should have been honest.
It's generally best.
Once again, Ryan was conscious that the statement wasn't strictly true.
Nobody blames you, Ryan, for what happened last night.
Ryan shrugged, aware that the vaunted Shaker chair was agonizingly uncomfortable.
Makes no difference what you or anyone thinks about it. A man tried to chill me, I chilled him. End of story.
It's only been in the past year or so that we have fitted out that laboratory. Until then, it was pure research, trying to understand our fellow creatures. Then we started trying to train the dolphins to help us against danger.
Danger? What danger? The sea snakes?
Pirates.
Pirates? Guys in a ship with eye patches and parrots and the bones and skull flag?
Tomlin managed a feeble smile that failed to stay on his lips.
I understand your reaction, Ryan. The old pirates from children's tales were kindly and gentle compared to these bloodthirsty bastards.
Go on.
They are led by a half-breed called Red Jack Yeovil. If you ever have the misfortune to meet him, you'll understand the reason for his name. They rarely get together in force, yet they go up the delta and into the bayous. Where they sail, there is rape and fire and death, and they intend to destroy us here.
Why?
I once read that a mountain climber was asked the same question, why he risked his life scaling the tallest peaks. He replied it was simply because the mountains were there. For Yeovil, the same applies. We are in his way, on what he believes is his domain. So, to try to save ourselves, we are training the dolphins to carry weapons for us, to attack humans. Things that are quite contrary to all my beliefs and to all their ways of living.
I always knew you scientists were proud of